Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to church this morning. We seem to have more people online than in the church building, which is I don't know what quite that means, but it's good to come together to worship the Lord. David says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." And at the end of the psalm, it says, "The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people, and the Lord blesses his people with peace." Well, that's what we do this morning. We come to ascribe to the Lord the praise that is due to his name, to be reminded of who God is, that he is the king over all the earth. And at the same time to be blessed as we meet together as his people. So let's start this morning in song. Our first song this morning is 10,000 Reasons. There are many reasons to worship the Lord. It's probably more than 10,000, but that's what the song is about. It's the first song in the songbook if you're online. 10,000 Reasons. If you're in the church, if you'd like to stand, we'll sing this together.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy.
Hi, lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, indeed a new day has dawned. Father, it is bright and sunny and glorious outside. And Father, it's another day that you have given to us to praise your wonderful name. Father, we praise you this morning that you are indeed rich in love, that you are slow to anger, that you are kind and compassionate, and Father, that you do not treat us as our sins deserve. Father, we know our offences which are before us and which are also before you. Father, we know how we deserve to be treated. But Father, we thank you this morning that you do not treat us as we deserve. Instead, you pour grace upon grace into our lives, that you offer us the precious gift of forgiveness for all the things that you have done, that we have done wrong against you. And Father, you've given us the gift of eternal life through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we can look forward with confidence to the day where we will spend 10,000 years before you and ever praising your name. Forgive us for our sin. Please help us to turn from towards you. Please work in our lives . Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might walk humbly before you and walk in your ways and in your truth. Forgive us for the times where we compromise. Forgive us for the times when we lose our focus and direction. Forgive us for the times when we just lose our way and wander away from you. Father, we thank you that in those times that you are still there, that you gently call us and lead us, that you lead us down by the streams of still water, and that you feed us and refresh us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have prepared a place for us to spend eternity with you. We thank you that this world is not all that there is. But Father, there is hope for this world. And we thank you for the certainty of the hope that we confess and that we believe in. For we pray these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 13, 1 to 25. Hebrews 13, 1 to 25 is our reading this morning. And Lee's going to read it for us.
Good morning, everybody. Our reading in Hebrews, it's the last chapter of the book of Hebrews, right through to the end of the chapter, starting at verse 1. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honoured by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar room from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us, then, go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honourably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Brothers, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written you only a short letter. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all God's people. Those from Italy send their greetings. Grace be with you all.
Now, hopefully, got the news sheet for this week and a few announcements for this week. So, Tuesday, our Central Committee of Management, we're meeting at 7:30 p.m. in Henty. That's on this Tuesday. Our Ladies' Bible Study, 7:30 online this week with Amy. So, that's 7:30 Tuesday for the ladies. Shine, they're going to meet down at Florence's place 12:30 p.m. on Thursday. So that's Thursday 12:30 for ladies for Shine. Now, this is one everyone forgets. Next weekend is daylight saving. So here's your reminder. You need to put your clocks forward 1 hour. And if you do that, you won't be late for church next Sunday. So as you go to bed on Saturday night, just make that adjustment. So that you're on time for church next Sunday. That's all the announcements. So you'll see there in the news sheet, there's no men's Bible study this week because I'm not available. There's a whole bunch of prayer points to be praying about as well. Okay, that brings us to our kids' talk for this morning. So this morning, we're going to be continuing in our one another series. So I'm going to test your memory this morning. So what I've done is I've given you the first letter of our topics that's there up on the screen, and we're going to see if we can work out what all the words are. So can you name some of the one another's that we have looked at in this series? Yep, so love one another, that's the L, very good. Build, yep, that's the one on the right there, build one another up. Yep, that's the BE up the top, yep, very good. Yep, pray underneath. Yep, very good, forgive. No, not quite. Humility. But if you hit the O, offer hospitality. Yep. Yeah, it's a bit confusing. That's right. Couple to go. What? Say. No, not support. Yes, that's the E at the bottom. Encourage one another. I'm really testing the memory, aren't I? I didn't even give you the letters. No, let's not keep one another. Nice try. All right, let's go through them. Top one is live at peace with one another. A is for accept one another. S is speak for one another. And K is for be kind to one another. So that's, what's that? 8 out of 12? 75%? No. Yeah, it's a pass. We'll pull it down as a pass. All right, I'm going to show you two pictures. Okay, which one is good and which one is bad? Good on the left and bad on the right. Let's see if you're right. You are correct. Okay, so he's sharing chocolate and the other one is saying, you know, silly. Yeah. All right, next one. Which is the good and which is the bad? Yep, sharing their toys. Okay, let's see if you're right. Okay, so the sharing, that's a good thing to do. They're having an argument on the left, which is the bad. All right, and this one, and next picture. There we go. Which is the good and which is the bad? Good on the left, yep, they're sharing. Okay, let's see if you're right. Okay, so we have good and we have bad. And God says to us, is that what he really says? No. He doesn't say that at all. He says, do good to one another. Do good to one another. So here's something from Matthew 25, and this is really a lovely passage which talks about how we can do good to one another. So let's see if we can fill in the right words. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. Okay? So if someone's hungry, give them something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed, yep. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me, okay? So if someone's in need and they need a meal or they need a bottle of water or there's someone who's just lobbed into town who needs a place to stay for the night or someone's in prison, that is doing good to one another in the words of Jesus. That is doing good. Next one. Now the question is why, and we've asked this question a lot, why is it that we should do good to one another? And the answer is, hit it maybe, because God is good. And not only is God is good, he's also, you know, Amy, all the time. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. And John, as you said, hit it again, Amy. God is good all the time, and he has shown us his goodness to us in his Son, the Lord Jesus, when Jesus died for our sins. That is God's expression of goodness to people like us who are undeserving because of our sins. That's our kids' talk for this morning. We're going to sing Psalm number 25. This is one we haven't done before. So it's not in the songbook, but it's a great, it's a prayer, really, a prayer of David just expressing his response to God's goodness and his uprightness and everything that God does for him. So if you like to, it's a pretty easy tune to pick up. So if you like to stand in the church, we'll sing Psalm 25 together.
To you, O Lord, I lift my soul. I trust in you continually. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my foes gloat over me. No one who sets his hope in you will ever suffer such disgrace. But those who act with treachery, humiliating shame will face. O Lord, reveal to me your ways and all your paths. Help me to know, direct and guide me in your truth. Instruct me in the way to go. You are my Savior and my God. All day I hope in you alone. Remember, Lord, your love and grace, which from past ages you have shown. Sins of youth or my rebellious evil ways. Remember me in your great love, for you, O Lord, are good always. Because the Lord is just and good, he shows his path to all. Guides the meek in what is right and teaches them his holy way. To those who keep his covenant, his paths are steadfast love and faith. For your name's sake, O Lord my God, forgive my great iniquity. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He'll teach to them the chosen way, that they may prosper all their life, their children in the land. Those who fear his name, with them his covenant he will share. My eyes are always on the Lord. He'll free my feet from every snare. Turn to me, Lord, show me your grace. I suffer pain and long. Troubles of my heart have grown. Deliver me from my distress. Look on my pain and suffering. Forgive all my iniquity. See how my foes have multiplied, how fierce their hatred is for me. Oh, guide my life and rescue me, and let me not be put to shame. For I take refuge in you, Lord, from those who would destroy my name. Because I wait for you alone, let uprightness preserve me still. From all their troubles, oh my God, redeem your people Israel. From all their troubles, oh my God, redeem your people Israel.
Farm, but there's plenty of good things in that psalm, and I'm going to lead us in prayer as we reflect on that as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the confidence that we can have when we put our faith and our trust in you alone. Father, we thank you that you have shown us the path of life. And Father, sometimes that path of life wanders all over the place, up and down, narrow, side to side. But we thank you for the confidence we have that we know where that path leads, and we thank you for the confidence we have that you're always with us, that you guide us, that you teach us your ways, that you are loving, and that you are faithful, and that you forgive us of all our iniquity, even though it's great. Lord, we pray that you might help us to know what it is to fear you and to fear your name. Father, to treat you with the respect and honor and glory that is due your name. Father, so often we take our eyes off you and we look around at our circumstances. And more often than not, we become afraid. Father, rather than trusting in you and your strength and your might. So, Lord, we pray this morning that you might teach us your ways, the way of truth. We thank you that you've given us your word, which instructs us and guides us. We pray that as we meditate on your word and think about your word, that we might hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. Heavenly Father, there is much evil in our world. Father, there are many foes that we have, people who want to persecute us for righteousness' sake. My Father, is your Son taught us in those times we pray that we would rejoice and be glad. Father, we thank you for those who turn, we know that those who turn their back on you, Father, they will be put to shame. And Father, they will face the coming judgment which will be fierce. Father, help us to warn people of this judgment that is to come, that it is a scary thing to be in the hands of the living God. And so we pray that your word would go out to all the nations, that your word would convict people of their sin and their evil and their disobedience, and that people would turn back to you. Father, help us as your people, as we've been learning in our One Another series to apply these things in our own lives. That we would indeed be kind to others, that we would speak the word to one another, that we would live at peace with one another, and that, Lord, we would learn to forgive and to love. Father, sometimes we find that difficult. Sometimes there's people that we really struggle to love and to forgive. Father, we ask for your help. Father, as we speak and encourage one another, Father, may we continue to look forward to that day when the Lord Jesus will return. We thank you that he conquered the enemy of death, that death no longer has hold over us, that we have the hope of the resurrection in the face of death. Father, we know everybody in this world will face death one day. And our sure and certain hope is in the work of your Son, the Lord Jesus, who lived and died and rose again. Father, death is not easy, so we do pray for those who are grieving this day. Father, that you might draw alongside them and offer them this hope of the resurrection. And finally, Lord, we pray for each other and for ourselves. Father, there are many things that we're anxious and worried about, concerned about. Father, stressed about. Lord, may we hand these things over to you. We've learned to cast our anxieties on you and know the peace that only you can give. For we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage today is Galatians 6, 1 to 10, and Rod's going to come and read it for us. Thanks, Rod.
Yes, as we do look into Paul's letter to the Galatians, may we open our hearts and minds to hear what God has to say to us. Verse 1, chapter 6 to verse 10. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you are spiritual, should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Praise God for his word.
We pray for us. Father, we do indeed pray that you'd open your word to us, speak into our hearts and minds, challenge us as we think about this important topic, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we are continuing in our One Another series. It's turned into a bit of a long series, but I can assure you we are getting towards the end. And our topic for today is to do good to one another. And we have two texts for today. The first of our text is Galatians 6, 9 and 10, where Paul says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So the book of Galatians, it follows the same pattern that Paul tends to use when he writes his letters. He outlines doctrine and then how to live in light of that doctrine. In the case of the Galatian church, it was a church that was growing with Gentiles, not non-Jews, that were coming into the church. As we saw last week in Romans, it created a number of issues for the Galatian church, and the central one was whether non-Jews needed to obey the law of Moses, and if they didn't, whether they were to be considered right with God. And Paul makes it very clear that it is by faith alone that we are saved, not through observance to the law. And flowing out of this, Paul says in chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So as Paul's outlined in the letter, Jesus Christ has set us free from slavery, the old slaveholders of humanity, sin, death, and the devil. We've been set free from them. We were born into this slavery by nature, but by trusting in Jesus, we are set free. We are free to be the people God wants us to be and to do what God wants us to do. But for the Galatian church, they were in danger of going back into slavery through the yoke of the law, which would be futile. It's impossible to save ourselves through our own works, says Paul. Instead, as Paul says in verse 5, that by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope for. So as he says in 5:13, he says, "You, my brothers, you are called to be free, but do not use this freedom to indulge the sinful nature, rather serve one another in love." We're not to gratify the desires of our sinful nature any longer, but live by the Spirit because Christ has saved us. The fruit of the Spirit is some of the things we've already looked at in this series, love and peace and kindness. And so it shouldn't surprise us that goodness is also a fruit of the Spirit. Now, when we see goodness listed as a fruit of the Spirit, we tend to think of it as some sort of moral uprightness. But when we look at the way that the word is used elsewhere in the Bible, it's more an attitude of generous kindness towards others. So a good example of this is the parable of the workers in the vineyard in Matthew 20. The owner of the vineyard sends out workers at various hours of the day into the vineyard. Some work all day, some work an hour or two. And the thing in the parable is that all the workers who worked got the same amount, irrespective of how long they worked for. And of course, those who worked the longest, they were the first to grumble. And this is what the owner of the vineyard says in verse 13. He says, but he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Right to do what I want with my own money, or are you envious because of..." So clearly here, to do good means to be generous. It's the opposite of envy, which Paul lists as one of the works of the flesh in 5:21. Active thing. And when we understand it correctly, it means not only doing good, but doing it generously. Now, that still leaves open the question of what does it mean to do a good thing or to act? I mean, in a lot of ways, good is a subjective thing. So to a cricketer, rain is bad. But to a farmer, rain is good most of the time. More helpful, I think, it is to say, as one person put it, anything that is helpful, useful, cheerful to oneself and or others is good. Anything that is hurtful, harmful, painful to oneself and others, that's bad. And anything that is good to some and bad to others is of a questionable ethical value. Now, the Apostle Paul would kind of use different language. He would say that good is the fruit of the Spirit. Bad are the deeds of the sinful nature. And Paul puts our key verses in Galatians 6, 9 to 10 in that context as well. And he says in verse 7, he says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Now, I don't need to convince you of the agricultural principle of you reap what you sow. It's one of the fixed laws of nature. But the principle is also true spiritually. Job states it very clearly in 4 verse 8. He says, "As I have observed, those who plough evil and those who sow trouble reap it." For Paul, we can see he states exactly the same thing. We can sow destruction by sowing the seeds of the sinful nature, Or we can sow a harvest by sowing the seeds of the Spirit. So as the Puritan William Perkins said, there are two sorts of seeds which men sow in this life, good and evil. There's two types of sowers. There's spiritual men and there's carnal men. There's two sorts of ground in which the seed is sown, the flesh and the spirit. And there's two sorts of harvests which men are to reap according to the seed, corruption and life. Paul is saying our present conduct determines our future condition, and we are responsible. If we pander to the flesh, we will reap judgment. If we pursue the spirit, we will receive eternal life. And thus the old saying is true, isn't it? You sow a thought and you reap an act. You sow an act and you reap a habit. You sow a habit and it reaps a character. And you sow a character and it reaps a destiny. Now, I've used this illustration before, but I think it is really helpful. There's an old Indian chief of an American Indian tribe. He became new to faith in Jesus because of this regular visit to his tribe by an early American preacher. And as the preacher continued to make visits to the tribe, he continued to instruct the chief in the workings of his faith. One day, as the preacher came to visit, he asked the new believer, "Well, chief, how's it going?" And the chief replied, "Two dogs inside, a small dog and a big dog, always fighting." So the preacher asked, "Well, which dog is winning?" To which the chief replied, "The one that I feed." We need to ensure as Christians we're feeding the right dog. And don't think you can pretend or fool God with this sort of thing, because verse 7 tells us that God cannot be mocked. Now, that said, sowing is actually hard work. I mean, these days you can do it with all the modern comforts, but in the time of the New Testament, it was all done by hand. It took a lot of hard work, which is why Paul says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Doing good to one another is hard work. We get tired, we're sinful, we lose our spiritual edge. We experience opposition from people we're trying to do good to. And there's way too much good to do. There's plenty of needs to be met, and it's easy to just give up, go into our shell, and throw up our arms. Paul says, no. Keep on doing good to one another, because the harvest will come at a proper time. Now, Paul's not the only one who says we should be good to one another. Our second text comes from Hebrews, where the writer says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Now, unlike Romans and Galatians, Hebrews is not focused on the doctrine of justification. Now, sure, it talks about it, but it's not its primary focus. Instead, the focus is worship and being occupied with heaven. So if you're after a verse which kind of summarized the book of Hebrews, 13:15 would probably be close to the top of the list. Verse 15 talks about using our lips in worship. Verse 16 speaks of practical deeds as an act of worship. When we do good, when we share with others, we are actively worshiping God. It is God we serve when we minister to others and put their well-being above our own. Now, notice a couple of things about verse 16. Firstly, we've already seen doing good is about generosity. Secondly, doing good also involves sharing with one another. If there are things that we have which could benefit one another, then we should share them with one another. So on a practical level, doing good is probably best summed up by the words of Jesus in Matthew 25, 35 and 36. Jesus says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was in sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Doing good means meeting people's needs by performing these kinds of acts of charity. It means watching out for our neighbour and for our community. It can also take on a spiritual dimension, such as praying for someone or telling someone the good news about Jesus. In short, doing good means doing everything good it is possible to do. So why is it then that we should do good to one another? Well, there are a number of reasons, and the first is that God is good, and that's a theme that's repeated repeatedly in the Psalms. So let me give you a bit of a sample. Psalm 25:8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs the sinners in his ways. Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. His blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Psalm 118 verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Psalm 135:3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise to his name, for that is pleasant. God is good, but he's also the definition of goodness, because everything he does is good. So, for example, in the creation account, every time God created something, it was good. And when God saw everything that he had made, it was very good. It was tov ma'od, as I teach my kids in the scripture. It was very good. Everything God does is good, because God never does wrong or bad or evil. So, for example, in Genesis 50, Joseph's brothers came to him and offered themselves as slaves, given everything that had happened. And we're told that Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Despite the evil that his brothers committed against Joseph, God allowed that to happen for ultimate good, the goodness of his plans and purposes. Now, sometimes we don't see the good that God is doing to way down the track. If we look for it in the moment or the situation, often we can't see it. But God calls us to trust him and to know that what he is doing is good. As Paul says in Romans 8:28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purposes." Part of those good purposes is the sending of his son, the Lord Jesus. So in Luke 4, Jesus goes into the temple and he starts reading the scroll of Isaiah the prophet. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The gospel, which literally means good news, came to this world through God's Son, the Lord Jesus. The good news is that through his death and resurrection, sinners, which is all of us, can receive forgiveness of our sin and eternal life with Jesus. And all we need to do to receive it is to come to Jesus, put our faith and trust in him. The gospel is the power unto salvation to all who believe. The gospel rescues us from the sinful nature, and it sets us free into a new direction. And it's something we could never earn or deserve, which is why it is good news. So as I've said over and over in this series, if God has shown us immense goodness in his son, the Lord Jesus, it makes perfect sense the recipients of that goodness would in turn show that goodness to one another. So how do we go about showing goodness to one another? Well, I'd like to suggest four things that might help us. The first is we actually have to learn what is good. Paul says in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received and heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." If you want to do good to one another, it starts with good thoughts. It starts with good thinking. And Paul lists six thought patterns. Whatever is true, whatever is noble or sometimes translated honorable, whatever is right or just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is admirable or commendable. And after listing these areas, Paul gives a summary. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Continue your mind, dwell on these things. Ponder these things without ceasing. Let me turn it around a bit and put it in the negative. Whatever is untrue, whatever is dishonorable, whatever is unjust, whatever is impure, whatever is unlovely, whatever is uncommendable, if there is anything not morally excellent, if there is anything unworthy of praise, do not think about these things. Thinking as we ought is not just thinking positively, it demands the discipline of refusal. If we are thinking right, that seeps down into the heart, and then the heart drives the actions. So as David said in Psalm 119:11, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So a good place to start is with God's word and let that influence us. You can't be profoundly influenced by that which you do not know. If we know God's word, we will know God's goodness to us and it will become easier to do good to one another. If we're being influenced by the junk which is on TV and social media and the badness of things said by people in our circles, we're just going to make life hard for ourselves. Secondly, we need to start looking for opportunities to do good. And the place to start is in the household of God. That's what it says in our key verse today. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Verse 10 makes it clear that doing good is not bounded by a legal obligation, but when we see the opportunity arise, according to the circumstances of the moment, we are to do good. Why are we to focus on the family of believers? Because goodness only begins at home and then it goes out into the neighborhood. As Christians, we're adopted into the family of God. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, they're the ones we're going to share eternity with. So if we cannot do good to one another within the household of God, it's not just bad, it's actually seriously wrong. Thirdly, start with some simple things such as sharing. We saw that in the Hebrew passage, we are to share. Think about what you have and what you might be able to share with others who do not have. Paul says in Galatians 6, verse 6, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Now, the primary context here is that of the relationship between someone who teaches the word of God and those who listen. But there's a wider application that we can share with one another what we've been learning in our spiritual walk as a way of encouraging or doing good to one another. In light of that, we need to start with the family of believers. Some sharing of what God has been doing can only be a good. Fourth and finally, don't become weary of doing good. Paul says in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now, there's no doubt that doing good takes time and effort and energy. I mean, we just look around, we see the flood of need. Then we do good to one another, people return, serve with abuse or even ignorance. It's really easy to just give up. So what do we do when we reach that point? Well, the first thing to do is we need to get some rest. Spiritual failure is often brought about by physical fatigue. But we also need to rest spiritually, which means not trying to do things in our own strength. God is the one who provides the strength and we need that we need. And so we might just need to spend some time in the spiritual reset bay. We reset by contemplating God's goodness to us in Christ. We reset by meditating on God's majesty. We reset by considering God's character. And while we're in the bay, it would be good to have other people praying for us as well. But we should also note the promise. If we don't give up, if we continue to persevere, we will reap a harvest. It takes time to see the effort of goodness we sow into people's lives. Now, unfortunately, in today's world, we want to plant spiritually and we want to reap the fruit the same day. It doesn't work like that. James 5, 7 and 8 says, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. So the question this morning is what are you sowing? Not are you not only sowing in your own life, but what are you sowing in the lives of one another? And what good can you sow into someone else's life this week? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are good, that you have shown us what is good. And Father, we want to live pleasing and good lives before you. So please help us as we sow in the Spirit, as we, under your help, seek to grow the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, as we seek to die to our old sinful ways. And we pray this morning that you might help us to see the opportunities there are to do good, to sow into someone else's life the goodness that we know and experience from them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. So it would be fitting that we close our time together by singing Psalm 34. It's on page 66 in the psalm book, in the hymn book. We have done this one a couple of times before, but we haven't done it for a while. So I'd like to stand in the church, Psalm 34.
At all times I will bless the Lord, I'll praise him with my voice, because I glory in the Lord, let troubled souls rejoice. Together let us praise the Lord, exalt his name with me. I sought the Lord, his answer came, from fears he set me free. They look to him and shine with joy, they are not put to shame. This suffering man cried to the Lord, from him deliverance came. The angel of the Lord surrounds and guards continually all those who trust in him is blessed. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints with me, you will not be oppressed. Young lions may grow weak and faint and hunger for their food, but those who wait upon the Lord will not lack. Listens to their plea, the wicked. those who hate the just. God saves his own, they're not condemned, for in the Lord they trust.
They taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who seeks refuge in him. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning, particularly if you're online. We have morning tea over in the hall, and we'll see you next week.